It is 7 o'clock. Time to start the regular board meeting for the town of Discovery Bay. I get to do that. That's so cool. If we could, please all rise and join Director Gateau in leading us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Can I please get roll call?
Roll call to take in. Let the record show. All members are present with the exception of President Porter and Kevin Graves. Director Kevin Graves is joining us via teleconference.
Perfect. And do we need to provide the location,
yes,
please?
Yes, Director Graves needs to provide.
Director Graves, do you mind providing your location and if anyone's in the room?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I'm tuning in from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and I'm here with nobody else in the room, and I'm willing to move forward.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for making that happen. All right. We will move on to public comment. Do we have anybody in that would like to make a comment during public comment time? Online?
There are no hands raised online.
All right. In person? All right. Moving along. Let's get the consent calendar. Can I get a motion to approve, please?
Make a motion to approve the April 5th meeting consent calendar.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you so much. That's it, right?
Roll call vote.
Yep. Roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Gateau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye. All right, Carrie, thank you so much. Area and liaison reports. Do we have supervisor's office?
No one's on the line.
All right, then we will move to, do we have anybody from Lori Wilson, Assemblymember Wilson's office?
No.
I know we've got Sheriff's Office report.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Tony.
Lieutenant was called away. She was on her way over here, but she got called away with something. If she can make it later, she will.
Awesome.
Just going through here, 290 calls for service approximately for last month, but these 34 police reports are taken here. Just kind of hit the highlights for last month. Going down to the property crimes, because that seems to be the best we can address here. We did have a residential bird, which was the homeowner left, came back about lunchtime, and found somebody in his house. So, which was pretty surprising. Conflict between each other. He was able to ID the guy, and we were able to put a line up and everything. So we're still in the process with that, which is unfortunate. So please be aware, especially if you come home and you see your door open, window open, sign been full, don't be afraid to call. Sit back, watch, see if anybody's leaving, driving away. We call the sheriff's department and let us go in there and do what we can do. With that, the next one we had was a another burglar, 459. Burglary. A commercial bird.
What? I'm sorry. What page? Boulevard. What page are you? Are you?
Well, I'm just going through the property crimes.
Oh, okay.
I apologize for that. I'm over here on page 3 of 3. If you look at the top.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had that residential burglary. Now I'm over here at this right under that we had on the back of page, the first page on page 2, you'll see this burglary commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Report number 233114. And on that one, that was an arrest made on this individual. Construction site. I guess some homeowners called in, had some folks, they've seen some folks back out there. Officers were able to go back there, make contact with some individuals, and we did make two arrests on that one, which is good. You can see there, we did have a lot of calls, I'm trying to stick with the property crimes. But forgive me, I would have been better prepared. On the third page, the 2482, that was the an unknown, we could see the video. Basically, a business owner came in and found his safe missing and property damaged. We downloaded the video and watched it. An individual came through the ceiling, dropped a ladder, called in, brought tools with him, cut out the safe, and left. So, nowhere on that yet, on that particular crime. The fraud access, the AT&T AT&T account was opened up in somebody's name. They got a bill in the mail. That's what that is. The identity theft right below that. Hyper Wallet, some kind of online pay service, was accessed by somebody, and some money was taken out of the account. The false pretense, that is the fraud, somebody using somebody's Facebook account, basically selling items and stuff, getting false information out. The other fraud was an individual went on a business trip, I believe, and got a text message because she was waiting for somebody to mention use the business card to buy gift cards for the fundraisers at the conference. So she thought that text was from them and ended up getting some gift cards, taking pictures of them and sending them back through the text message. And the vandalism was somebody's front door. Above the front door, there's a window and a rock was thrown through it. I don't know if you noticed, we did have the CSO start putting the speed trailer out. We'll try out in different locations. We're trying to do good service on that. Spending more time going through the shopping center, making sure we stay vigilant there. We are, I don't know if you guys heard, but we are, looks like they're going to be also going to start having cameras. Mm. So right now we've got the sergeant and one other deputy actually doing, they just got them, so they're actually using them and it's going to be filtered in the next couple of months. Which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And the officers, of course, like it. It's really good to have. You get on scene, you pop the camera on, you can see them, and they're good. And they'll be attached to every single report, so we'll have video on everything. Other than that, is there anything else you see here? I know that it seems like a lot of reports there, but a lot of it is self-explanatory. The suspicious circumstances are just calls that come in because somebody thinks something's weird or off. The officers go respond, look into it, and it's nothing. So we move on. Other non-criminals, three of those calls were for suspected child abuse. Nothing founded on that. And the other one was Safeway, I guess somebody went in, grabbed a bag of stuff, went into a closet, grabbed a buffer machine, tried to walk out the store. He was stopped at the door and just left everything and fled. We did make ID on that too, so it was getting pretty bored. So other than that, any questions for me?
So does there seem to be an uptick, or is this kind of...
I'll be honest, looking at this, either they're not calling us, or it seems to be doing a lot better, because usually we'll hit 4 or 5 easily. From CBS and what you see in the report.
Sure, right.
And having only that one and that other incidental, too.
Not just Safeway, I'm just talking in general as far as just crime overall. You know,
crime overall, it's in the lab, when I look at the 6 months, when I get the 6 month stats coming out, it is lower, obviously, but January, February are big because New Year, all all your tax forms and everything else is sent out. People popping mail and everything else to try to get them. That's why you got to get your CEO fraud. So, other than that, the property crimes are my main thing because if you think about that, it hits home. And if you look at what we got, it's compared to other areas of the county. It's just not there. So.
It's good. Good. Any other questions?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you.
Okay, CHP, we have them on the line?
No.
All right, how about fire?
No.
And anyone from Congressman Harder's office?
No.
All right, excellent. Then I see that we have no Mac. Okay, then we'll move to F1 presentations. California class, Rick Wood?
Yeah. Tonight we've asked the CFO of CSDA, which we're all a member of, to come and give us a presentation on some investment opportunities. Traditionally, we districts like us have used LAIF, which is Local Agency Investment Fund, to do their investing. And when Dina was at the general manager's conference, she was going through the vendors and saw California Class. Rick is an advocate for them. And we invited him here today to give you guys a presentation, because what we would like to do is take this excess cash that we have, if not excess, and we'll call it dormant, because it's reserves. There's money who's not really doing anything. We want it to do something. Mm-hmm. And right now, we've been putting it in the money market account. It's been sitting there. But California Class's rates are quite a bit higher. I'll let Rick do that exciting news and tell you about the new technology and their up-to-date website and everything like that. So without further ado, Rick, come on.
Thanks, Julie. I've actually been here a couple times, so and I think this topic is actually a little bit familiar. Thanks, Julie. I am the Chief Financial Officer, Finance Director for CSDA, as well as for the Special District Leadership Foundation and the CSDA Finance Corporation, so I kind of serve in that role for all of them. A little over a year ago, CSDA and the League of California Cities got together, and we were a little disappointed with the options that were available to all forms of local government with regards to investment opportunities. And at that time, interest rates were in the toilet, pretty much. We were getting, about 10, 15 basis points from LAIF and from other places. But we knew that there was an opportunity out there to create something that all of our members and all local governments would be able to use. Three times a year, I actually present at a workshop where I teach special district investing and the California government code and all the requirements that go with it. And one of the things that the government code does really push for is diversification. It's not our money, it's public money, and we need to be very prudent with it. And that's what we try to talk about in that conversation three or four times a year. The topic of California Class is kind of secondary to me personally, because making sure that we're investing public money properly is far more important, and the diversification tool is far more important. We just didn't feel like there were very many options out there. So along with the League of California Cities, we did our research to try to find a partner that would come in and help us actually put together a top-of-the-class investment-type program for public agencies. And kind of talk about this as we go through the slides. And I literally can do this in 10 minutes, or I can take 30 minutes of your time and however you want to do this. So I'll try to clip through it pretty quick. And please stop me if I get to the thing. I've done this probably three times a week for the past 8 months. And I know you've heard quite a bit about it already, so I don't want to be too repetitive, but if we can pop through some of it. And unfortunately, Neil McCormick, who's the CEO of CSDA, he's not here, you just get me. You're stuck with the accounting. So as I mentioned, California Class, the partnership is between CSDA and the League of California Cities. We're both sponsoring this. Next. This is the structure that we created. So it's a joint powers authority, and the structure is that the board of directors, the trustees, there are two special districts that are appointed by CSDA's board of directors. There are two trustees that are appointed by the League of California Cities, and then the four of them actually appoint a fifth, which in this case is Parker Hunt, Treasurer Tax Collector for Tehama County. Now, the special district side, Ryan Klosnitzer is the CEO for the Alameda County Mosquito Abatement District. He's also CSDA's just past president. He also has finished a couple of years ago an advanced degree in finance, so he knows this stuff really well. Margaret Moja is the other special district representative. She is the finance director for West Basin Water District, and she's also on the executive committee for GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association. She's also past president of CSMFO, California Society of Municipal Finance Officers. She's also on the executive committee for CMTA, which is the County Municipal Treasurers Association. This lady is so well, I would love to have her resume. She's very well connected in the finance world, and we're really, really lucky that she accepted the position as a trustee to start out the California class program. And the two folks from the cities, I know them really well too, and they're both just as well versed in finance as well. So that is the governing body is of the Joint Powers Authority, is our peers, people that work with us and work around us. And we thought that it was important to have that kind of structure in place. So those trustees oversee the custodian, which is U.S. Bank, and quite honestly, U.S. Bank is one of the few left in the country that will actually hold massive amounts of public money. There's just not a lot of them that will do it any longer, and U.S. Bank is the biggest that actually does it. Then Public Trust Advisors is the administrator and distribution agent, and I'll talk a little bit about them. ORIC is legal counsel, and ORIC is huge in public law work across the country. And then we do have an independent auditor who's Clifton Larson Allen. They do it across the entire country, and they do a lot of special districts in California. Next. I like this slide because while we created California class for special districts, you know, selfishly, and then the league for the cities, we'll take any public money. Any public money can actually be put in here. And that quite honestly works to all of our benefits to have that broad type of participation in the program. Next. So the funds themselves, the prime fund that I'll talk about the most, a prime fund by SEC rules means that it can't have a weighted average maturity of more than 60 days, meaning that the longest the investment maturity is 60 days. They have to do that in order to be able to call it a stable net asset value fund, meaning that if you put in a dollar today, regardless, you're going to get a dollar out tomorrow, plus interest, meaning that it's that liquid and it's that stable. And those are SEC rules with regards to the prime fund. It is rated AAAM, which is the highest standard in board, and Fitch will actually rate a fund. Withdrawals are unlimited. This is not like the SEC-governed money market accounts, where you can only withdraw money six times a year or six times a month. This is you as many transactions, as many withdrawals, as many dishes, as many anything as you can. The liquidity of the fund is same day, meaning if you request it before 11 a.m. today, you can have it in your account that afternoon if you're doing it by wire. Now, this is the only fund in the country as a local government investment pool that will also allow ACH transactions. And us accountants actually like ACH more than we do wire, because wire banks charge us for them, and ACH tends to be free. Accountants are cheap. And most of us can manage money anyway relatively well on a cash flow basis. If you need it that afternoon, you're not managing your money all that well, especially in this kind of environment. So ACH is a great option for it. I'll talk a little bit about the Enhanced Cash Fund as we go and answer any questions that you have about it. An enhanced cash environment means that you can go out to a year and a half on the year yield curve. It's not a stable net asset value fund. It can have unrealized losses associated with it. They're great funds in an interest rate environment that's flat. or dropping. In an interest rate environment that's going up, enhanced cash funds is what got that bank around the corner in trouble because they were too far out on the yield curve in an environment where they couldn't make the margin. So these are great funds at certain times of the interest rate environment, and we can talk about that later. Next slide. Public trust advisors. So these are the folks that we partnered with to actually manage the funds for us. Every time I present this to some elected officials, they look at me and say, why would we put public money in something so brand new? Why would we do that? This is not brand new. Public trust advisors have been doing this across the country for over 30 years. We're just the newest pooled program that they've started here in California. Actually, we're not the newest. Nebraska just opened up about 2 months ago. So they've been doing this in multiple other states. They manage over $70 billion in public money. That's all they do. They've been in California for 20 years already managing public funds. The only thing that's new is us creating this JPA and putting it in the format that we have and making it available like this to our members at CSDA and the League of California Cities. So this is not new by any means. Next. I like this slide just simply to refer back to the California Government Code 53600 and all of its subsections, the very primary thing, and you as elected officials, the prudent managing the public money portion of it is safety, liquidity, yield. And those are the three primary things that the government code talks about at the very beginning of it. And it's exactly what we built this on. Safety, you're not going to lose a dime putting the money in there. Liquidity, I just told you, you can get it out the same day. And then yield, that's the cool part that we're going to talk about towards the end. Next slide. Again, sponsored by CSDA and the League. Super liquid. It's way more secure than a money market. It is marked to market on a daily basis, however, and this is the only pool that does that. Only pool program in the country that actually marks to market daily. And the rating is as high as you can possibly get.
What does that mean, mark to market?
So the value of the funds, if you go in and you value them as if you were going to sell them that day, and what you could get for them if you were to put them on the market that day. Normally, most of them do this on a monthly basis at the end of each month. So they'll go in, they'll see what the value is and what the value of that treasury or that CD or that bond or that whatever the piece is that's actually in there. They'll value it at the end of each month, meaning that it can fluctuate a ton throughout the month. By marking the market on a daily basis means that you truly are getting that security, the dollar in, dollar out situation, the stability of that net asset value. By marking the market daily, rather than randomly throughout the month, and this is the only pool that does that.
Thank you.
I said unlimited transactions. I said that you have unlimited sub accounts. I act as CFO for several special districts I didn't mention, and we have reserve funds. And I have elected officials that really have specific reserve funds that are their pets, and they want them in their own special accounts. We can do that here. It's not a problem. We can have as many as you want. And I have a lot of special districts that bust them up into their individual reserve accounts based on their reserve policy. This, fees. There's no transaction fees. There's no money movement fees. There's none of that. None of that kind of fee. The question I always get asked is, how do they make their money? Right now, they're not charging any fees because they've got $70 billion that they're managing across the entire country, and they have other assets in California as well. So they're keeping it, at this point, to begin with, But in the joint powers agreement, there is the ability for them to charge an administrative fee up to 15 basis points. So 15 tenths of 1%, which is like nothing. Is that that's the max they can ever charge on an administrative fee per the JPA agreement. And that would be, you would never see that charge come to you that you would have to pay. It is netted out of the investments. But on a quarterly basis, that information is presented to the Board of Trustees and will be made available to all participants as well. And I should tell you that all participants can be on the Board of Trustees. They serve four-year terms. They're appointed. This is not a perpetual thing. This is not a good old boys club that these people that started there are going to be there forever. All our participants can actually be available to be trustees as well. Next slide. I don't even remember why I put this one in there, except to say that I like the ACH function available. This is one that those of you who have worked in the public world with money and you've actually had to live with the local agency investment fund, and I am not knocking them. In every one of my special districts, I use LIFE as one of the parts of my diversification program. So don't take it that way. But their portal is painful to go in and use and move money and make transactions. And she knows it. This is the portal for California class. Basically, you can go in and see your dashboard. You can go see your accounts. You can go see your transactions. It's super simple. And the next slide, actually, is this is the profile page on it. So we can set you up so that Julie has control of being able to make transactions. Dina can go in and see it, and she sees what Julie does, and that approval goes to Dina. And you can set up different levels of ability to actually work within the portal. You can't set your brother-in-law up so that you can send your money to him from the district, because they go through this massive security process in setting things up in that entire process. It's super impressive what they've done with the security side of this. Next slide. And this is the actual portal where you will go in and make transactions. And again, this is where you can choose either ACH or wire. And Julie, I want you to look at this, because this is not LIFE. You actually can choose ACH or wire, and then that you can pick from the drop-down, the bank account. You cannot put your Cayman Islands bank account in there on the fly. It doesn't work that way. I tried. It doesn't work that way. You have to go through their security process of actually giving them your banking information, them testing it, them making sure that the process actually is going to work. And then you can't change that field without going through that process again. So that the security that's built into this is super high tech and makes a lot of us accountants that teach fraud stuff very comfortable with it. Next slide. There's something that is going to come with this that is called a participant-to-participant transfer. And that's going to be really exciting when a bunch more counties come on board, because when counties pay out property tax to cities and local governments and all that, they'll be able to just send it right directly through the class portal, directly to those people who actually have accounts set up in class along with the counties. So as this grows, this is going to be a lot more fun to actually see how this piece gets used. And again, this is the only one in the country that can do actual participant-to-participant transactions. Next slide. And then this is where Julie will go in and actually pull up her statement of account. On the first business day of a new month, by 10 a.m., your statement will be there and ready. That is not the case. If you get it on the 15th of the following month after the quarter ends is when you get your actual statement. And that's when they post interest as well, quarterly. Our interest posts monthly. So you also get that compounding effect built into it. And historically, a lot of banking records, it doesn't keep them for years and years. This goes back to the beginning of when you start participating in that library. Next slide. This is old because as of this morning, California class was 4.998% was the daily yield, and LAIF was 2.88%. Your money market account that you currently have with LifeStar Bank that I stood here and told you was a great deal, it is still a great deal, but it's paying 2.88% with what it pays, whatever LAIF pays, which is still way better than where we were banking before and getting nothing. So it's still a great deal, but California class is getting that 4.99. Why? Because we're so short on the weighted average maturity scale. Where every time the feds pop those interest rates up, we're picking it up within weeks as well. The reason why LAIF is so much lower and is still a local government investment pool program, it's a stable NAV program, is because their model is 300 days. That's their weighted average maturity, regardless of what the interest rate environment is. So LAIF will catch up in about 8, 9, 10 months. They'll come a little bit closer to this. Next slide. You already took advantage of this. This, whether you do California class or not, and I already told you this, I think another time that I stood up here, was that if you're uncomfortable with your investment policy, I'll look at it, I'll review it, I'll give you recommendations. We already did that. Next slide. This is how easy it is to sign up. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thanks for that presentation. Are there any questions from the board?
No, I'm
well,
good.
Well, actually, my only question would be, so how much money are we talking about as far as dormant or whatever the terminology you want to use?
Utilized reserves? No.
Approximate.
Let me get back to you on that, because that would be kind of a guess. But it's millions, obviously,
okay.
So, yeah.
So if you...
No, that's great.
So if you put... I know how much money you have. If you put, let's just say a round number, if you put $10 million in this, and in LAIF, you're earning 2.8%. And actually, there's this cool little calculator in the portal that anybody can use. You don't have to have a sign-on or a login. And you can go put in, if I put this much money in at this point, how much would I have earned a month later? And you can do that comparison. So in LAIF, if you had $10 million in there during the month of March, you would have earned $24,000 in interest. It's not chump change.
No.
In California class, it would have been $42,000 is the difference in 1 month with $10 million. Hmm. You could put a lot of pipe down a bunch of rows with that much money built up over 6 or 7 months. I know what CSDs do.
Actually, with the cost, we could put about that much.
I was going to say, is that 7.5 feet?
That's true.
It's irrigation. Inflation.
Irrigation.
No, but it is obviously better,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's exciting to see our money now working for.
Yeah.
Truly. Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, this fund launched, our version of this fund, I mean, obviously PTA's got $70 billion, but our version of this fund launched last July. And yesterday we had $410 million in it with over 50 participants already. And I've got three more of these to do next week that is the final board meeting for a bunch of places that are really excited, including Contra Costa Mosquito and Vector Control just down the street.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, the current finance committee is working on reviewing this at this point, right?
I'm sorry.
The current finance committee is evaluating at this point?
No, what we did was we brought this to the last finance committee. So what our idea was tonight was to bring it to the entire board so that you could get this education. You have 2 weeks to, if you have any questions, to let us know about them, ask them.
Perfect.
We can get back to you, and then it would come to the next board meeting for a verbal.
Nice. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We need public comment on that.
Yes.
Do we have any public on the line that would like to make a comment?
There are no hands raised.
Anyone in attendance? All right. Thanks again. That was very informative. Okay. We will move now to G1. These are going to be recreation update. Monica, please.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
All right, so I'm going to give you a brief update on all things recreation right now. We are ready in April. Oh my gosh. So we are wrapping up the stroke clinic that we did this month. And then we are going to be getting water aerobics May 1st. The classes are going to run 9 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday from May 1st to September 1st. And we're going to be offering an evening class from 5:30 to 6:30 Monday through Wednesday for the month of May. Because then once school's out and summer starts, we've got swim lessons in the morning, rec swim, swim lessons at night, water aerobics. The pool is going to be pretty much used from 9 until 7:30.
That's outstanding.
So yeah, thank you.
It is. That's wonderful.
Yeah. So we're excited. And then we're also going to do the free adult lap swim that will be May 1st to June 9th from 10:30 to 2:30, Monday through Friday, and then it'll come back July 31st through September 1st, and we're going to do 12 to 4 Monday through Friday, because again, all those other spots, we had to fit it in because of all of our programming. So I was really happy that we could add swim lessons and programming and still keep that. So we worked hard at fitting all that in the schedule. Any questions on the programming?
That's great.
And then just a reminder, the park here is open still till 7:30 p.m. This Saturday, the Lions Club is holding their annual Easter egg hunt here at the Community Center. And then this is Easter Sunday, so Community Center will be closed. And we do have signs posted on the gate, on our social media, and on the town website, letting folks know. Wanted to let you know that Bill and I had the bid opening today for the Prop 68 competitive grant resurfacing of Cornell Basketball Court. So we just opened those bids today. We got 4 bids, which was really great. But now we're going through to make sure, determine the bid, and make sure everybody's got all their proper documents and it's a complete package. So we were working on that. Come up with a new design for the community center, the patio. We know now that we're not going to do concrete, so I'm going to get all that kind of wrapped up and then present that at the next Park and Rec Committee meeting and see what they think. And that's all I have.
That's great.
On the bid opening for Cornell Park, assuming everything goes smoothly, you find that you've got the appropriate bid in, when do you anticipate that starting?
I have to check. It'll probably obviously depend on, honestly depend on the schedule for the company that we're going to use, but we'll get out the notice of intent to award, notice to proceed, and then, we're going to start as soon as everything clears.
Sure.
That's on the book. So it's going to be a little bit challenging, and we'll have to really work with the community, because there are going to be sections of Cornell Park that are not going to be rentable this summer because we're doing all these improvements, because we're starting to also order the new tables and the dog stations and all of that. So the playground will be the next phase, also roping that off to resurfacing it. So there will be a chunk of time this summer where it's not going to be available. But it's worth it, you know, to get all these improvements done.
Very good. Any other questions from the board?
No, all good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any public on the... I'm going to keep checking with you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. General manager's report. I'm sorry. Manager's report. Thank you.
So just a quick update since we rolled out the Slick Text messaging system. We've actually went on social media to actually raise awareness for it. Today at 2:30, we had 132 subscribers. I just checked. We have 145 now. One of the things that is, you know, this is a program that we're tweaking all the time, but I was surprised at all the people that registered for all the zones, which is a good thing. They're going to be well informed. The last meeting, we were having board members go through it, and we saw an issue where an entry was put in when not asked, and that was a flaw in the system. We've actually changed that. So now the time when a text is sent is 1 second, and the next text is coming in if you want to register for other zones. So we're hoping that's going to stop some of the confusion with that. But I will keep you updated on the subscribers, and nice. Hopefully we'll get more.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I signed up today. It was simple.
Awesome. Did you have Director Graves beta test your new 1 second?
No, he is registered for all five zones. And if it wasn't for Director Graves, we probably would have known
about
that.
Absolutely. So chaos monkey rules.
It was good. And you know, they need more things that happen. So as long as, you know, we're testing it and we find different things, we have customer support that helps us, and we'll work through this.
Nice.
Yeah, I signed up this afternoon as well. And as I'm signing up, I'm thinking, why wouldn't I not sign up for all the zones? Because this town is so small, any zone that has an issue is going to be reflective of other zones as well,
right.
Potentially.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, that's great news.
Some people did actually sign up for just one zone, but the vast majority are all zones.
That's really good news.
So,
Greg.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay. And now, general manager.
So All God's Children Christian School is going to be doing some construction. So as you're driving down the roadway that we share with them towards the district office, you have the church. Between the church and the other brick and mortar building is a modular building. They're going to be removing out that modular building and putting a new one in. So they'll be doing this through May. The project should be completed by the end of May. I met with their project manager. He came down to show me the design and what they're going to be doing. There may be some blockage on that roadway during sometimes when they're removing out the old and bringing in the new. I did let him know that our chemical deliveries are on Mondays at certain times. You cannot block the road then. When it gets warmer, it's Mondays and Thursdays. We cannot block the road then. So there might be some blockage where we can use their parking lot to park our cars, and we can always have walking access. So that's happening. The next item, I just wanted to remind the board that the manager training is April 24th through the 26th. All managers will be at this training. Just reminding you of that. And then as May approaches and the weather gets warmer, I would like to start with a coffee with the GM again and opening that up for our residents to come and meet. Again, I'll start trying to invite, you know, the new lieutenant and some other agencies to join me, and maybe our new assistant general manager. I'll let him come and meet some of the public as well. So, but if he can't behave himself, he's out. So, so we're going to be starting that up again.
And I'm sorry, you said the manager training is here or offsite?
No, it's offsite. So we'll be in Sacramento for the days. Okay, and that's all I have. That's the end of my report.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, we have some director's reports. Internal Operations Committee met today. Director Graves, are you in a position you can give us some update on that? Or
yes. So we looked at several different policies that are being updated, and we were reviewed with our assistant general manager. One was a draft copy for the community center. Another was an existing policy that was about 13 years old. So good. What they inform us of is that they are attacking policies one by one as quickly as possible to review and update as needed, which is great. Keeps everything current. They also have some good news with regards to our driver safety program. We have through some software that are that are a part of our vehicles, and everybody's driving safer with much more awareness, and we're very pleased about that also.
Great, thank you so much. Finance Committee met today as well. Director Graham, do you have some notes from that?
Yes. President Porter was not there, so I was there, so we did not do any voting on anything. But we did hear a financial update from Julie. I said we, well, all of us. You got it. And then had some discussion on community center outdoor lighting and community center fencing, which, of course, we couldn't take any action on, and so that was tabled until next meeting.
Great, thank you. And then we had a water and wastewater met today as well. Director Graves, do you have an update for that?
President Porter wishes she could be here, and unfortunately she's away on business. And so we had a meeting with no action taken because it was not a quorum present, but we were informed about some projects coming up, CIP projects, ones we've been talking about for a while with regards to better transportation of water between the two sides of Discovery Bay, and that'll be coming to the board for review and approval here pretty soon. Nothing much more than that. Again, it was kind of an impromptu meeting because there wasn't a quorum present, but there were just some informative things. We're delayed slightly again with the D-Night project, but nothing horrible, just a few weeks because of weather and other conditions, and also we're still having some issues with supply chain. But everything is still in good shape and moving forward, and we're looking forward to having that completed on schedule with the testing that needs to be done. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dina, that was about it, correct?
That was correct.
And again, it was there was no action taken at the meeting because of the lack of quorum.
Thank you very much. We had the ad hoc committee report. Director Couteau, do you have anything for the building committee?
The ad hoc committee's been meeting, and we met last week again with the design firm, and they brought forth a proposal for us that we had been discussed, and as is obviously with a project of this magnitude, this is an ongoing dynamic situation, so we have another meeting planned for next week, and then hopefully at the next board meeting, we'll have AET come in and do a presentation on where we're at.
Nice.
Director Graves, you want to add anything to that?
No, that's very accurate. It's pretty much what I was going to say, that we're still reviewing some proposals that came forward, and we want to make sure that we bring the best proposals to the board, and we have some more discussion amongst the committee coming up next week.
All right, thank you so much. We have some training reports and regional meetings filed. No correspondence?
None tonight.
All right, and then we have a legal report. Andy?
Yes, so CSDA reached out to the town in support of a new bill. It's a brand new bill that's at the legislature. And what they're requesting from all of their member agencies is to send a support letter to the legislature saying that you're in support here at Discovery Bay of this new law. So let me tell you a little bit about the new law. This is the new law has to do with teleconferencing again. And what it's trying to do is this law will extend the AB 361 components. Remember, there's the two types of teleconferencing. There's the emergency AB 361, and then there's the just cause 2449. So it'll extend both of those through 2026. Then after 2026, 2449 goes away, and AB 361 stays indefinitely. The other thing that it does is something that impacted other agencies, not so much the town of Discovery Bay, which was, if you remember, over these past few years, we've had a resolution at every single meeting when we were conducting an AB 361. Well, that was because every 30 days you had to do that in order to continue to operate under that circumstance. Here they've extended that period of time to 45 days. So what they're looking for from you all is some consensus so that we can bring a letter back at the next meeting, so that it's a, there's a form letter. You fill in the name of the agency, and then there's a few little bits and pieces that you put specific information into. You would approve that. We can put that under the consent item, and then Dina and her staff can then send that off to the legislature as requested by the CSDA. Just for your purposes, who's in support of this? All the major organizations that deal in local agencies, that's CSDA at the special district level, California League of Cities at the League of Cities level, and the California Association of Counties at the county level are all in support of this bill. So they're all actively advocating and lobbying to get this bill through. It's still got a long way to go, but these support letters are the way that local agencies have a voice up at the Capitol through our member organization, CSDA. So it's a relatively simple bill, but we just wanted to get that ahead of you, so when you see it on your next agenda, if you have any questions or you don't want it on the next agenda, we know that.
Do you know who's against the bill?
The newspapers, more than likely. Newspapers do not like teleconferencing. Newspapers mm-hmm. actively advocate against teleconferencing because they like to have meetings in person. So they're a big lobby. You know, surprisingly enough, newspapers still have a lot of weight.
Makes sense.
And did you happen to have the number for the bill?
Yeah, so it's AB 557. You can take a look at it. CSDA has a pretty good summary of it on their website. And if you want to look at the bill, if you just typed in AB 557 legislature, you'll get the legislative analysis. There is no analysis yet because it just got directed to committee.
Okay.
So it's brand new. It's a baby bill.
Very good. So no action to be taken today. We will wait to see the draft letter at the next board meeting.
That's correct. So we were just kind of wanting to take the temperature of the board if you wanted to have it on there. If not, you won't put it on, but it sounds like it's not going to be an issue.
Anyone see an issue? Director Graves, any issues? Okay. Yeah, I don't see an issue.
No, as long as legal counsel is recommending to move forward, this is your bandwidth, not ours, so if you think something we should be part of, then we'll definitely take that into consideration.
And then we'll have time to independently review the bill in between now and the time that we would approve a letter anyway. So.
Yeah, we typically will follow the recommendations of the major agencies, like CSDA and League of Cities. It also, kind of builds your relationship with your local CSDA so that they interact with you. All receive rewards from them on a regular basis. So
nice. It
goes along with membership.
Thank you very much. One last swing at public comment?
No.
All right. Any future agenda items any of the board would like to... No? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:52.